In one matter of anticipated litigation, the board unanimously approved a settlement to pay the sum of $75,000 to an ex-employee in exchange for dismissal of a complaint of retaliation and a release of all potential claims. And student representative?
Hello, everyone. I will be starting off with the Lyndhurst High School Board Report. We have recently wrapped up our homecoming week of Coachella 530. The leadership arranged dress-up days to boost up the school spirit. There was Midnight Monday, Halloween, PJs, Class Color, and Festival Friday. There was a thrilling amount of participation, bringing about an all-around smile on our campus. It was also great as our staff sang it out in a lip-sync battle at the homecoming rally, and students danced the night away with amazing music at the homecoming dance. Beginning the month of November is the canned food drive, in which we donate canned food to help those in need through our partnership with the So You Can Foundation. First period classes are engaging in a friendly competition to win the golden can. The Diverse Student Association Club participated in the Hmong Forgotten Veterans Memorial Service this past weekend in honor of their sacrifices and bravery. The tennis team will be hosting a Students First Teacher Tournament this Thursday, November 16th, after school. Come by and watch some staff members play against the fourth consecutive year GEL champion tennis team of Lyndhurst High School. The junior class is organizing prom and has chosen the theme of Happily Ever After. It will occur on April 28, 2018 at the Refuge. More details to be discussed during weekly class meetings on Wednesdays. The students at Lyndhurst High School are all working hard as progress reports entered in, looking towards a great Thanksgiving break. Next, I will be reading the Marysville High School Board Report. Last month, we had a great month of October, which included a successful homecoming and a great Link Crew event. In the Link Crew event, students had decorated a door classroom of a teacher where they passed out candy to freshmen on Halloween Day during lunch. There was a lot of positive feedback on this event from both students and staff. November. To kick off this month, we had a blood drive on Thursday the 9th. We held signups for the blood drive for the preceding 3 days and had very high student participation. The day of the drive ran very smoothly and there were little to no complications, with a total of 115 students coming through the gym at one point or another to donate. Coming up this month, we have our annual battle rally. The date is Friday the 17th. Throughout the week before, the students will participate in battle-themed dress-up days like active versus lazy, biker versus surfer, and finally, black versus orange on Friday, also the theme of the rally. During this time of year, we like to focus on the joy of giving. Throughout the month, we have multiple groups working on holiday-themed giving programs. Two we are focusing on this year are Adopt a Family and Care Home Cards. Teachers and students will have the opportunity to give back to the community by helping supply holiday gifts to families in need and holiday cards to those living in care homes. We are also participating in the Angel Tree program through the Salvation Army. We partake in this project every year and provide students with the opportunity to supply gifts to a single child or group of children for Christmas. Our librarian is helping out a lot as well by holding the Toys for Tots program on campus. There, students can simply drop off toys for young children in the library, and staff will take care of getting it delivered to families. Currently, we are planning a new dance that will be in December, our winter ball. We decided homecoming dances were very difficult to execute and didn't have enough student participation, so we wanted to make a change this year. With that, we decided to add a winter ball in place of the fall and winter homecoming dances. This semi-formal dance will be in between the major sports seasons and will take place on a Saturday from 8 to 11 p.m. This will allow us to put more energy into an amazing event and have less stress while doing it. We are very excited to share more details next month. We hope you all have a wonderful holiday season. Lastly, I will be reading the Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts School Report. We will be having a holiday dragon fest on Friday, December 8th during lunch at MCAA's outdoor stage. Dragon Fest is for MCAA students to perform for their school during a lunchtime show. Auditions for Dragon Fest are going to be on Thursday, November 30th and Friday, December 1st during lunch. We will be having a positivity week from Monday, December 4th until Friday, December 8th. The purpose of this positivity week is to help motivate students to perform well on all their finals, which will be taking place the following week. This Thursday, November 16th, we will be having a staff luncheon. This will be organized by MCAA's leadership team and is a way for us to say thank you to our staff members for all that they do for us. There will be a dance recital on Friday, December 1st at the ASYCC. Music Week will be from Monday, December 4th until Thursday, December 7th. This will be located at the South Auditorium and will consist of performances from the MCAA Piano, Band, Strings, Songwriting, Choir, and Vocal Tech departments. MCAA's Excel Club is going to be having a holiday toy drive. Our Environmental Club is going to be having a recycling drive for the remainder of this semester. The Prayer Club is currently working on a project called Operation Christmas Child, in which they fill up shoeboxes with toys, accessories, clothing, craft items, and personal care items, and then send them out to kids in need. Lastly, the Athletic Club is currently having a volleyball tournament. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a presentation tonight on a Williams Act update, I do believe. Please come on up. Good to see you again.
Good evening, members of the board. Dr. Todd, to the audience and to the cabinet here, it's a pleasure to be here. First and foremost, let me extend my respect to all of you and my appreciation for the opportunity to be here, and I look forward to other opportunities. Okay? With me is, I almost said Dr. Abel, Assistant Superintendent Bobby Abel, and she'll be joining me in the presentation. Okay?
Nice to meet you.
Probably the best place to start with the Williams Act is to give you a summary of what that entails. Okay? Number one, the County Office of Education is charged with, one, conducting annual visits to schools during the 4 weeks of class, in this case, the Marysville Joint Unified School District. Number two, determine whether all students have sufficient access to instructional materials in all core subject areas. Next, monitors whether teachers have the appropriate certificates and classroom assignments. Reviews that school facilities are maintained in good repair and that buildings and grounds are safe, clean, and functional. Verifies the accuracy of school accountability report cards relevant to instructional materials, facilities, and teacher credentialing. And ensures that the school has posted the district's uniform complaint procedures and that the district quarterly reports are submitted. Now, with that in mind, there were a number of schools, six schools that were reviewed. I'd like to list those for you. One is Cedar Lane Elementary, Johnson Park Elementary, Linda Elementary, Feather River Elementary, Yuba Gardens Intermediate, and Lyndhurst High School. With regards to instructional materials sufficiency, the visits were conducted August 30th through September 11, 2017, and no insufficiencies were found. With regards to facilities inspections, they were conducted September 7th through the 13th, 2017, and for that I'd like to defer to Ms. Abel here to explain more specifics on that, those findings. Bobby?
So although I didn't actually do the facilities inspections myself, that was done in coordination with our maintenance and operations director, John Mejia. And in the detailed fit reports that the board has received in your packets, there were some what was determined to be extreme deficiencies by definition of the process at three of the sites. And so, because that was the first time in the 7 years that I've been the lead for the Williams visits, we hadn't experienced that with you yet. So we added an additional layer of communication. And so on October 19th, I met with Lenny Tate and gave her some detailed facilities deficiency reports. So we wanted to make sure that we called those out to you prior to being before you here at the board meeting and give you the opportunity to respond to those extreme deficiencies. And I did receive communication back from Ms. Tate on November 9th indicating that you anticipate having those corrections made within the 30-day window and that we would be getting a report back on that towards the end of the week. So that's all I have to share on the facilities. I do want to add that I really do enjoy the instructional materials visits. I know that I tell you that every year, but it continues to be one of the highlights of my year, believe it or not. For one to stand before the board and say I enjoy Williams visits seems a little odd, but I see some friendly faces and have developed relationships with the site administration and do really enjoy going in and seeing the children engaged in the learning process. So again, I look forward to the visits again next year.
Before you step down, because you did mention serious concerns, in my 8 years, I've never heard anyone say it that distinctly. Could you elaborate a little on a really disturbing?
Yes, and I do use the language that's lifted from the Williams reporting tools that the county offices do use across the state that is provided by CSESA, the county superintendents. And so would you like me to mention what those specific items are?
I wish you would, yes.
Okay. I'll have to put my glasses on for that.
That's all right. I have to take mine off after time.
Okay. So at Cedar Lane School, there were two. They were both on the playground. One was sinks and fountains, drinking fountains that were non-operable. And the other was cracks in the playground. At Linda Elementary School, there were three. In the northeast custodial closet, there were interior surfaces. The interior of the closet had holes in it from a rotted wall. And then the other two were on the playground. One was PVC pipes were sticking up out of the ground and exposed, causing a trip hazard, and the other one was a drinking fountain that was broken. And then the last one was at Lyndhurst High School. It was in the weight room, and it was a, well, not necessarily in, but at the weight room, and it was a structural damage to the south wall that was rotted and buckled.
Thank you. Board questions? Mr. Florian, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Comments from the board members. Ms. Scott?
Thank you.
You're good? Mr. Davis? I didn't mean to throw that on you so quick.
Well, it's okay. It's, well, I got the chance to get up to Loma Linda.
Excuse me. I failed the Wellness Committee annual report. Yeah, and you're right.
Sorry.
There. No, I'll pick up right where you're at.
Okay.
And actually, as Amber is coming towards the podium, perhaps Mr. Hodson can give us a little explanation about what we are currently doing on the Williams Act report findings.
Thank you, Dr. Todd. Thanks to the county.
Thanks, Jim.
So a little bit of a background on this. These inspections were done in September-ish. We got them in a little less than 30 days ago, and so we're using that 30-day window to get them caught up. Most of them were pretty easy fixes. There were things like leaves in the gutters that are in the fall, you know, pretty predictable. Others that we did find and we fixed those, and then some that we can't, like for example, the PVC was mentioned. I've walked it, Travis has walked it, we're not able to find that one. There was a case of an air conditioning duct that was listed at Cedar Lane and D109, and there isn't a D109. So we need to circle back with the county and just figure out there's some sort of a transcription type issue. So we've got almost all of them fixed. I think it's also important to realize, as part of an ongoing series of inspections, we had NICSIG, which is our liability carrier. They come down and walk all of our sites, and they also give us a list of things that they think might generate, you know, hazards and therefore lawsuits and liability, and we fix those. And then we also, as part of our larger inspection program, the board prior to my arrival approved a group called CSI, California School Inspection Group, that will come and do a similar thing. They will walk all of them. So this is an ongoing process, and every time you get a fresh set of eyeballs, they're going to find new things, which is great. Gives us an opportunity to go look at them. So we'll circle back with the county and let them, you know, give them the status on all the ones that we have. We've either completed them or have work orders for each of them, or the ones that we either couldn't replicate or that we would disagree with. But generally, we've got them almost all answered to date. So,
no, thank you. I was looking for a response. And Amber, I'm always bragging up school wellness. I certainly didn't mean to jump you. Please come on out.
Good evening, members of the board and Dr. Todd. I'm Amber Watson, Director of Nutrition Services, and I also serve as the committee chair for the School Wellness Council. Our district's current student wellness policy requires annual evaluation and board updates on compliance and initiatives around wellness in our schools. The district's School Wellness Council leads the wellness charge, with meeting three times a year to advise on training and implementation needs and future wellness goals. The wellness policy was originally required in 2006 for districts that operate the National School Lunch Program. Then the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act of 2010 strengthened the policy by adding requirements for public participation, transparency, and implementation. The council has representation from teachers, principals, students, nutrition services, health services, and community partners. Members of the council are here with me tonight to present. We have Jerry Eccles, nutrition site manager from Marysville High School, Michelle Hendricks, teacher from Marysville High School. Unfortunately not with us, Pierce Desmond sits on our committee as student and ASB president at Marysville High School, and Chelsea Slattery, advisor at the Cooperative Extension. The wellness policy evaluation was created with each part of the wellness policy in mind. It consists of a series of questions pertaining to different groups that may be involved in wellness activities on school campuses. Each question asks schools to reply as needs improvement, meets expectations, or exceeds expectations. During data analysis, each response was assigned a number value of 0, 1, or 2, respectively. Supplemental questions were added to get more qualitative data from each school site stemming from wellness and nutrition initiatives to help provide resources to schools where needed. We will present each section of the evaluation with first an overview slide that specifies goals of that section, and then a results slide that will compare data from our prior year evaluation. The section on physical education, nutrition education, and school-based activities indicates the required minutes for physical education, goals for providing nutrition education through integration, and before and after school activities that promote physical activity and healthy eating. In this section, data indicates great improvement from the intermediate and high schools, while elementary remains at the same rate from prior year. Both groups are meeting expectations. To note some success, schools with the Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Program grant have been provided with school-wide Dairy Council curriculum for every classroom. At this point, I'm going to turn it over to Jerry to talk about the next two sections.
Good evening. The board policy and administrative regulation have goals for meeting the National School Lunch Program regulations and criteria for selling food on campus. In California, we have both federal and state regulations in regards to selling foods outside the National School Lunch Program. Some improvements are seen in this section with growth from both schools, both groups of schools. Nutrition Services provides free meals for all students. Menus are planned using a menu committee, and new items are introduced to the committee and students. Only when products test well with students do they move forward and are featured on the menu. Staff participates in monthly trainings on topics related to their jobs, topics including nutrition, food safety, positive communication with students. The wellness policy set goals for staff to be role models for healthy behaviors. Parent groups are asked to promote health in their activities and fundraisers, and food sold during the school day must meet nutrition guidelines for calories, fat, sugar, and sodium. Our policy has also set goals for encouraging healthy classroom celebrations as well. While the intermediate and high group remains needing improvement, there was a notable growth in elementary schools. Schools are promoting class parties at the end of the day. This encourages students to still eat their healthy lunch and enjoy treats later. Several schools are conducting healthy options for fundraisers, as of selling bags of local oranges and jogathons. Some schools are reporting difficulty with too many sweets and treats brought to the classroom by parents and difficulty understanding the nutrition guides. And now Michelle will speak about the student groups.
Hi. As a member of the Wellness Committee, I'm also a teacher of health education at Marysville High School. And so with the ASB regulations being what they are, as the activities director, I look at it from two different points of view. This section that is up is about safety, and it also encourages the health and safety in addition to student groups that are required to sell and meet the nutritional requirements. The food items must be pre-approved by the group, and primarily in the schools, we have different regulations than, let's say, an elementary school. The intermediate and high schools did show a decrease from last year in this section. A lot of it was turnover. Evaluations show that the group was a little less confident when it came to understanding food regulations. It would be nice to have a few more students on the wellness committee, but at the same time, convincing them that they need to be more proactive in those items. On the contrary, Marysville is actually partnered with Nutritional Services, as Jerry mentioned earlier, with food taste testing. At the same time, we're able to see if we can actually get the right products from the Nutritional Services versus us buying them at, let's say, Sam's Club or something like that. So they not only meet the nutritional needs, but they're the right serving size for the students when we sell them in our student store. And then Pierce wasn't here tonight. He usually serves on the Wellness Committee as a student representative. One of his roles as the president is also approving activities and fundraising, including those that are related to food. Again, meeting the requirements during the day and meeting the expectations from the nutrition program. We also stopped having those food days, even though California still allows us to have those days. It doesn't really meet our relationship with the Nutritional Services program at this district. And so we've decided to have picnic days where we're actually promoting not just healthy eating, but activity. So they can play outside, and they usually take place during the springtime. And now I'll turn it over to Chelsea.
Good evening. I'm going to cover the health services portion. So in addition to being a member of the Wellness Policy Committee for going on about 4 years now, I'm also a Nutrition, Family, and Consumer Sciences Advisor with the University of California Cooperative Extension. So it's a pleasure to be here and be a part of the School Wellness Policy Committee. So for health services, the policy identifies goals for health screenings for our students and to provide resources for further medical care and health insurance. Our district nurses and Jessica Guth both sit on the committee, but unfortunately they had other commitments this evening and are unable to be here. And so we're going to show some highlights from the health services portion of the evaluation tool. So as you can see here in 2016, the majority of the schools were nearing meeting expectations for health services. And in 2017, the majority of them were exceeding expectations in the health services section. So some of the notable growth in this area include the best practices for holding a diabetic health fair, collaborating with Yuba County Public Health, California, and California Children's Services, and then participating in the annual nutrition fair, and also performing screenings which provide referral resources for the students and their families. And the health services is a partner in the annual nutrition fair for nutrition services, the nutrition services hosts each year. So I'm gonna go ahead and turn it back to Amber now.
In reflection, the committee has recognized some significant changes since we've reconvened several years ago. School culture around food has changed to be much more positive. More students are consuming fruits and vegetables, with the implementation of the Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Program at 8 grant schools, students are trying new and different things. Meal access at breakfast and lunch is now equitable for all students eating for free. Students are involved in providing guidance on what is put on the menu, and kitchen staff are encouraged to sample new menu items for students to taste. We have strengthened partnerships with our community organizations to provide nutrition education, and student groups have access to procuring approved foods to sell to their student body. That ice cream cart was really for popsicles. But they sell popcorn and Gatorade and granola bars as well. So moving forward, we have a few things we are progressing on. We've created an ad hoc committee that focuses on nutrition education. We had our first meeting in September, and since then, we've been able to schedule several academies with education services. These academies are provided through our community partners that support the district with free nutrition education curriculum. Several schools have indicated they need or desire water stations. We're looking into grants to be able to help those schools in that area. And the nutrition guidelines for selling food during the school day is confusing. We will work with schools that need assistance in understanding that and look at expanding the list of foods that are approved for schools to fundraise further. That concludes our presentation. We're happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Emily. Questions?
I don't know if there's a question or more of a comment. I really appreciate what you guys do. I know you work really hard doing it. But I know going around to school sometimes, and when I was a teacher, one thing that always bothered me about nutrition with how much stuff the kids throw away. And I don't know how you can address that, and I see that you're getting the kids more involved in picking what's there, and I think that's great, but I've suggested this a few times before, but usually it's on deaf ears, that when we used to teach, and we used to go up to, say, Woodleaf and up to Shady Creek, they have a program, Goober, where the different classrooms and the different, you know, the kids, schools would compete against each other for, you know, who has the least amount of waste. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really sure how you'd make that work, but I would like to suggest that you guys think of something like that just to get the kids more motivated, because there is so much food that they throw away. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd like to sometimes just take my truck down there and go pick it up and take it to somebody that has pigs or something, but I guess we can't do that either. But
don't do that.
Except for me. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Mr. Fleury?
Amber, you guys have done a good job. I've served on the committee and took a break with other board members here, and I came back on this year, and it's really been enlightening for me. Years ago, I was a student body advisor at McKinney. We used to make over $100,000 selling candy and junk. And I thought, you know, what would I have done if I was working there now?
Because, thank you, Gay. Because it's a whole different paradigm shift for me when I realize, and I appreciate your hard work. When I'm out in the schools, I look at the salad bars, and nutrition is important. Some of you may remember when I came on the board, the former superintendent said, you're going to get elected, but you're probably not going to live through this term. I was that sick. And good nutrition has turned it around. And it's a very important thing for our schools and our kids that we do have good nutrition. And you're doing a very good job in the nutrition department. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And education. Teaching.
Yes.
I would just like to say thank you to each and every one of you for the outstanding job that you do. I do understand the importance of nutrition in the school, and when you look around the school and you see all the kids that are being able to benefit from what you all are trying to offer, and I thank you very much. I know that you have your work cut out for you, but just keep the good work up.
Thank you.
Amber, I probably have the best survey. I pick her up every day, my granddaughter. And I'll say, did you like breakfast and what did you have? And she'll tell me. Then I'll say, did you like lunch? But then sometimes I think she says, I really like that orange and I really like that banana, so she can get cookies from grandpa. So I better look into it. But ever since you've come aboard and we've started feeding every kid, that they get into classes quicker. Their afternoon, they seem to be sharper. I'm a firm believer that a well-fed child can think better, just as an adult does. So keep up the good work. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I didn't mean to skip over you. Okay. I'm a late fill-in tonight. Very late.
If I might, Mr. President.
Feather Elementary Schools.
Can I make one quick comment too, not to embarrass our speaker here, but she did show me just this last week, and she went down to a conference that she was awarded from the California School Nutrition Association. You're looking at the very own Director of the Year award winner just from this week.
Wow. Congratulations. No, I'm glad you jumped in with that. That's great. Have to bring your plaque next meeting. Teasing.
It's gonna start. Well, good evening. Thank you for having us today and talking about what we're doing up in the foothills at Dobbins and Yuba Feather Elementary. I need to first address the board in that I need to amend the board report as I talked about fluctuation in enrollment. We're up one at Yuba Feather. And as of Monday, we're up four at Dobbins. So just tells you the nature of how things
That's
are going
news.
Up there. So we're up, which is great. And that up, especially at Yuba Feather, meant we added a teacher. And so we have only one class that's a combo, and that's the 5th-6th. The rest are all straight. And it's really changed the dynamics of that school. It's been really, really great. But tonight, last year we focused on Yuba Feather and the archery program. Tonight we're going to focus on Dobbins. And you're seeing a slideshow that's rolling about the STEAM education that we began in the spring last year. And it's really been great. And so this is all the talking I plan to do except for questions at the end. But first, what we're going to do is bring up our star, Mr. Cody Hill, to come and share his experience as a student doing STEAM.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Cody Hill. In our school, Dobbins Elementary, we do a thing called STEAM Friday. STEAM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Art, and Mathematics. That's post STEAM. On STEAM Friday, we do fun science projects that teachers plan for us. Some of the projects we have done are Scribblebots and Candles. A Scribblebot is a homemade robot that draws lines. It works by connecting positive and negative wires to an engine. It's made out of a plastic cup, 3 markers, 1.5-volt engine, batteries, tape, a propeller, and art supplies to decorate it. For this project, we learned how to engineer our own robot, the science of positive and negative charges, art, and technology. When I make candles, I use beeswax and a wick. I learned that the wax comes from bees. I wrap beeswax in shapes with the wick hanging out, and if it hardened before you're done, we had a blow dryer to melt the beeswax so you can finish. We also did edible Play-Doh mazes, built structures with jelly beans, peeps, and toothpicks. We also made soap and learned about how soap works, planted the seeds in the school garden, and made cupcakes. I look forward to STEAM Friday because it inspires me to learn and it makes work fun to do. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Excellent young public speaker.
So that's why we do what we do, ladies and gentlemen.
What do you do?
I am the second and third grade teacher up in Dobbins, and I get to experience that awesomeness every day with Cody. But I'll just quickly just touch on STEAM. I literally wrote this in my car before I came in the room. But in recent years, the concept of project-based learning and STEAM is gaining in popularity. I didn't research any hard data or statistics, but something I heard in one of my teacher education classes has really stuck with me throughout my career, and that is that the work and jobs that many of my students will have don't even exist yet. So, as schools and teachers, we give our students opportunities to learn and grow and explore the world around them, and to learn how to make it an even better place, and to prepare them for what is to become. Our STEAM Fridays have become one of the best ways for our students to explore their world. They don't have any pressure of academics during this time, and with this model that we've kind of created. We're almost tricking them into learning, and it's exciting. It's amazing to see unique talents and abilities come out in each student through these activities. And even one of my most favorite recent developments from my students is that they're now coming to ask me if they can plan the activities and do the background research, which for second and third grade is kind of fun and exciting. And we love our little school, especially our young people, and we're excited that they are excited about this fun way of learning. And I'll turn the time over now to Carol.
Good evening. I am Carol Kelly. I am a TK, K, and first grade teacher. So I'm a busy girl. So in the past, a primary emphasis in education has been ELA and math, and supported by new curriculum or older curriculum that we have, Go Math and Wonders. And by implementing our STEAM Fridays, we are working across the curriculum by igniting student excitement and learning and by integrating science. So every other Friday is STEAM Friday, and all the children are asking for every Friday to be STEAM Friday. But as part of the team with our three teachers here, we have really had a good discussion and felt that it was really important for us to really bond together even more than we have with STEAM Friday, and we are going to co-teach the STEAM Fridays. Typically, we have each had our own activity with the children selecting a different activity that they would learn in the classroom. But by co-teaching, we can really deepen their learning of science and integrate the language arts and math. So I will pass it on to you.
Thank you.
I am Nicole Young. I am the 4, 5, and 6th grade teacher up at Dobbins. And I really just made some bullet points to explain everything that you're seeing, things that you've already heard already. But to break it down, we do cross grade, multiple grades in one setting. So you're going to see kinetic energy being talked about with what Cody mentioned in his wobble bots. So you've got kinetic energy in the fifth and sixth grade, but also a second grade mindset around it as well. You're really getting hands-on there. We're talking about weight distribution and using the sensory bottles or making tin foil boats and talking about that and making it competitive by adding marbles into it and seeing who can get the most. We've got physical science from the second grade curriculum there. We just made edible Play-Doh the other week. It was incredibly messy, really fun. Something very slippery, but they had a ball. So that includes the whole talk about Fahrenheit and temperature degrees and what you're going into Celsius versus differentiation in those. So you're also going into the toothpicks and the marshmallows and the peeps and the jelly beans, the engineering form of it. You've seen some of the art pinpoint with the earwax, the Q-tips. But then you're also looking at the kinetic energy, the balance engineering when you have marble mazes. These are all student created, and like Carol mentioned, by double teaming those individual lessons, you're giving a real thorough access of knowledge there, and they don't even know it. You're gonna, you know, help them glue down part of that marble maze or tweak it so it actually makes it the whole way through. But they are really enjoying it. It's completely project-based and trial and error as the kids go along. So it's really something different than the day-to-day curriculum that we get through with those books. And as she said, they look forward to it every week, every day. They love doing it more than some of the time that they earn at the end of a normal week. So they want more of that structure. But now it's me.
Thank you. I think STEAM Friday sounds like an excellent, excellent way to spend a Friday.
Yeah, it's the last hour of the day, and I want to commend these three ladies here, because when we came up with this idea last spring, of course, budgets were already done, and they said, well, who cares about budgets? We'll just make it happen. And so out of their own pockets, they made that happen last year. And of course, this year coming into it, we budgeted for it so they wouldn't have to do that. So they sacrificed a ton to make this happen. And we did an egg drop, and these kids just thoroughly enjoy this. It is the highlight of the week when it's STEAM Friday. Kids really can't wait to go see Miss Jen, the secretary, to sign up for the one that they're going to be in. Mm-hmm. And it's really changed the atmosphere of the school and made it much more exciting for the kids. And so I'm thankful to this staff and all their hard work, and I'm thankful for kids like Cody that have just tearing it up and loving it. So anyway, any questions?
Questions? Hey, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Comments, I'll find it. Jump back in time. Comments from the board members. I'll go back again.
All right. I just really quickly got a chance to go up to Loma Rica and visit with Miss Hansen, and remarkable. The school looked great, but as with most of our campuses, there's some tough decisions to be made on these campuses for some of the older facilities. But all I can tell you is you never know that from the staff. They're making it work no matter what. And it was a joy just to be on that campus and visit with Ms. Hansen. That's all.
Thank you.
Oh, there you are. Hey, Dr. Velez, I'm really glad to see you. Mr. Triplett, I want to thank you for your presentation, and it just brings up something I'm really strong on, and that is, over the years I've seen education try to become more academic. Schools are actually dropping,
You know, I see them giving up on social studies, giving up on science, two of my big loves. You know, kids that are upset with math. I mean, if you could throw a baseball and hit something, you're really good at math. You just don't know it. But to see you do stuff like this in your school, I think it's great, because to me, academics are kind of important. Testing, well, I'm sorry that we do that, but the thing that seems to be the most important thing that kids need to get out of school isn't necessarily a big brain full of knowledge, that most of which is going to be kind of useless to them. They could look it up on their phone if they want. But to still have creativity and curiosity. And those two things are the things that when they finally do move on in their education and they finally finish their education, those are the things that lead to lifelong learning, which is the most important thing that we can give kids, is that they can, you know, be creative, to be able to figure out their problems or do their things that they need to do, invent new stuff, or and so on. So I don't want to go on, and I'll get off my soapbox, and you guys can move on here.
Mr. Allison. Mr. Fleury. Yes.
I would like to say welcome to Mr. Revelis. I saw you last week at the career fair at South Lyndhurst. We went to the career fair, and they have done a great job. David Jones has turned that school around. Those kids are excited about it. There was a lot of people represented there, and the weather was kind of cloudy, but the kids were excited. One of the board members that was a former employee at Lyndhurst was there, and she said, I'd like to go around the corner and see Lyndhurst. And she was just blown away with the culinary arts, the different classes. She could not believe the change in Lyndhurst. Said, this is astounding. It's not the school that I left for, and I think she'd been gone 5 years, and she's on the Williams board. But it's just amazing between the coordination between the two schools, and Bob is like a proud papa now as he shows things around, what they're doing, and the culinary arts is, they've just changed that program. Then also they had the parade on Saturday, and McKinney was represented, and Lyndhurst High School looked very good in their new uniforms, and the ROTC was there. And I was with the Exchange Club on the corner, and they commented on how well our schools were represented in the parade. And so we're going in the right direction. I'm really proud of what our district's doing.
Thank you, Mr. Fleury. I'd be remiss without thanking Mr. Eckert for serving me dinner. We've come a long way. It was very nice. It was excellent. Excellent program. You've just done a terrific job out there, Lyndhurst, in the last few years, and the program's definitely reflected. I had the opportunity to attend last week's Kynoch Red Ribbon / annual fair, I guess you would call it, and it was just incredible. The whole staff get together, they have all the games where you pitch in the sloops and hit the mouse in the head, and they have fishing games and hand out candy. And I think the one thing, just to show you that how everybody participates, and now this will get me in trouble with nutrition again, but Sandy in the cafeteria for a well-deserving cause made 250 cupcakes herself and sold every one of them, every one of them. I mean, hey, that's... So, Kynoch, very cool, very well done. And it was like a whole week. Of course, Grandpa got hit up for, you know, you guys are selling sweatshirts and T-shirts. Hey, you're killing me. Anyhow, that's it for me. Thank you, too, by the way. Opportunity for employee organizations, Marysville Unified. Operating engineers, number 3. CSEA 326-648, management and confidential, and supervisor unit. Are any of those out there wishing to speak? No? I might not be up here again. Okay. Yeah, move quickly there. Don't tempt her. Yeah, that's a good point. You're kicking me. public opinion. There's no public opinion card, so going to move right on to the superintendent's report.
I'll be really short and sweet as well. I just want to welcome Ashley Vetti from Cordova and Browns Valley School. You heard from Dwayne Triplett from Yuba Feather and Dobbins Elementary School, and Angela Huerta from Kynoch Elementary. Welcome. They're our latest and greatest cabinet members, and so they are spending Tuesday mornings with us and Tuesday nights during board meetings here with all of us. So thank you. Thanks for being here. And have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and you know what? Take all next week off.
Okay. The approval of minutes from the regular board meeting of 10-24-17. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve by Mr. Fleury, and a second by Mr. Allison. All those in favor, please state by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That passes unanimously 5-0 with two absent. And let me see. And that's it. Consent agenda. The board's requested to approve the consent agenda. Items under educational services, student discipline and attendance, student services, purchasing department, categorical programs, personnel services, and business services. Are there any questions or concerns about the consent agenda? Anybody like to? If there isn't, is there a motion? We have a motion to approve the consent agenda by Mr. Allison. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. All those in favor, please state by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay, moving right along. Next page, right? Oh, educational services. Agreement. No, that's all consent agenda. Excuse me. Oh, got all that down. Boy.
Page 10.
The Board of Trustees annual organizational meeting of the Board of Trustees. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board select a day and time for the annual organizational meeting. So I'm going to ask Ms. Dodd if you throw out a day and time. What do you think?
Well, we'd like to recommend December 12th, which is our next regularly scheduled board meeting and our only meeting in December. So that would be, I think, the best date to do that.
I'm good with that. You come in, what, an hour early?
Nope. It's done during a regular board meeting.
Oh, cool.
When you will select a new board president, vice president.
Oh, yeah.
And all those other offices, so yes.
That time of the year. Do I have a motion then?
I move that
we have that meeting on 12-12? Before? Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. All in favor, state by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Passes 5-0. Purchasing Department, Resolution 217-18/09, Disposal of Surplus and Worn District Property. I keep thinking of Kathy when I read this.
Kathy is here.
Is it? I was going to say it. I haven't lost it all, Kathy.
Good evening.
Please, go ahead.
This is something we take every year. It's an annual thing. It's required by the Ed Code to satisfy the needs of the Ed Code for the surplus property. It's difficult to do in the summertime with everybody gone, so by the time we compile the list and have it ready for the board, this is about the time of the year that we take it. So we just need your approval on the resolution, which will approve also the list that we submitted in the special reports, and then we've also asked for any other additional items for the rest of the school year that come up.
Any questions to Mrs. Cartwright? Thank you.
You're Kathy. Welcome. Thanks.
We have a motion for approval and a second by Mr. Fleury. All in favor, state aye.
Aye.
Boy, you guys are moving quicker than me. That would be, Paul would be the second. Opposed? None. Passes 5-0.
Thank you.
Information on stakeholder input for new textbooks and courses. The purpose of the agenda item is to inform the Board of textbooks and courses recently reviewed by stakeholders. Ed Code Section 60002 states the following. Each district board shall provide for substantial teacher involvement in the selection of instructional materials and shall promote the involvement of parents and other members of the community in the selection of instructional materials. I see Lenny there. Could you take it from there?
Hello.
Hi.
You took the words right out of my mouth. There's not a lot more to share. I shared the list of the recent, textbooks that have been reviewed with stakeholders, as well as current courses that we're bringing forward to our schools in the upcoming semester at our high schools. So I just didn't, I'm not sure if you have any questions in regards to those courses and textbooks that we have on our list. Okay.
I do recall where you had one concern last time over the cost. That was Rasmussen, right?
The issue was some of the older books.
That was it, yeah.
Yeah. And they addressed that.
That's correct. Any other concerns then? If not, do I have Susan, did you have any input? No? If not, do I have a motion for approval or disapproval? We have a motion.
Yeah, and on this one, this is just an informational item, I believe, so just to make sure you guys know that
we're... I think that's why they call it informational.
Right. Yeah, we're just making sure that we're following Ed Code 60002. So that's
okay.
What that's all about.
Thank you very much.
Thank
and I already
you.
Read that for you, huh?
Yeah. Thank you, yeah.
What a perk.
Great job, good job. And then I think I'm coming right back up for the next item, so I'll stand
it, it kind of looks that way. Okay. new board policy 6142-1, sexual health and HIV AIDS prevention instruction. Take it from there.
This board policy and its partner administrative regulation are tied to the new Healthy Youth Act that requires us to offer comprehensive sexual education along with HIV instruction. We have already been offering sex education within our school districts, but not to the letter of the new law that we have. And so this board policy and this AR address the requirements of the new ed code.
Any questions now of this?
We're not in
Alabama.
So you've opened the public hearing
yes,
on
I
this
have.
New policy?
Uh-huh.
Okay, thank you.
Questions? If not,
I move to close the public hearing.
We have a motion by Mr. Davis and a second by Ms. Scott. All in favor, state by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 5-0 with 2 absent. Education Code 51934 requires district to provide both. Oh, no, we already did that.
Yeah, we're going down here.
This one here.
Keep going.
Number three, 7-12, sexual health and HIV/AIDS prevention instruction. Purpose of this agenda item is to, go ahead. Oh, that's right. Hold a public hearing?
You've already held the public hearing, you've closed the public hearing, and now you need a motion to approve policy 6142.1.
A motion? We have a motion by Mr. Davis for approval. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Fleury. All in favor, state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. 5-0.
712, sexual health.
712. Sexual health and HIV/AIDS. Hold a public hearing. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board hold a public hearing for the approval of grades 7 through 12, sexual health and HIV/AIDS prevention curriculum, and recommended by the 2017-18 MJUSD sexual health and HIV/AIDS prevention recommendation committee.
Me again. So this is the curriculum that's tied to the new Healthy Youth Act, as well as the board policy and AR that we just went through. The curriculum was chosen through a group of stakeholders that the group consisted of teachers, parents, school nurses, school psychologists, district administrators, who looked through several different curriculum to decide on the one that would best fit the needs of our middle school students and our high school students.
Any questions? Go ahead.
Yes. I'm so sorry.
Who was on the committee? Were there
On the committee? Yeah, we had school nurses and school psychologists on that committee with us, as well as parents. We did have a student visit us one day, and several teachers were a part of that process to decide. It was it was a really interesting process. We met for several days to look at the different curriculum. Some is less conservative than others. I would say that we chose the most conservative curriculum that ties directly to the bullets, the letter of the law, in what we must provide to our students for their health and wellness.
Thank you. Any other questions? If not, that ends. Do I have a motion to close the public hearing? Or a motion to hold, close it. Do I have a motion by Mr. Fleury and a second by Mr. Allison? All in favor, state by stating aye. 5 aye. Opposed? None. Recommend the board hold a public hearing. A motion is required to close the public hearing.
This here. We're going to approve the instructional materials.
Do I have a motion or any questions on the motion to approve instructional materials? We have a motion for approval by Mr. Allison, a second. Susan, second. All in favor, state by saying aye. Opposed, none. 5-0. Closed session, not considered. That's it. No question, that adjourns tonight's meeting.